Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Amphibian? Those are like frogs. Isn't it that you can like change sexes?
Yep, that's what an amphibian means. Let's just say modern day dinosaurs. I'm JP, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. On today's episode, the influential Salt Lake City band Iceburn, Yelp with the most delightful foods of all, pizza, and Theta Knot. Currently joined right now by Gentry Densley and Chubba, aka Joseph Smith, of the influential, the historic, the legendary, as it were, a band from Salt Lake called Iceburn. And you guys disbanded a while ago, but you're back together to play the 25th anniversary of Revelation Records that'll be taking place in New York City over the weekend of the 13th and 14th of October. First of all, just to get this out of the way, how's it feel to be playing the old songs again?
Crazy. It's a little higher tuning on my guitar, so the strings are all tighter. It's not like Eagle Twin where it's a little lower. Everything's a little faster, and that's a part of youth, I guess.
It's awesome.
But yeah, no, it comes out well, and it's fun to be playing.
And I'm sure that maybe feels weird hearing the attribute legendary applied to your music, but I was speaking to Rebecca Vernon upstairs of Sabrosa. I don't know if you're familiar with Sabrosa at all. A really good metal band. And I said, if you could ask Iceburn one question, what would it be? And she said, are you aware of the legend you've left behind? She said she's always curious if bands are aware of this fact. Are you aware of this impact you've made in the Salt Lake music scene?
Yeah, I guess. And Italy, maybe.
is there a big Iceburn contingent out there?
Actually, kind of, yeah. That's weird. Little pockets that will pop up and, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I update in the music scene, so I keep hearing people always talk about Iceburn, which is really cool to leave a legacy or something behind.
And Chubba?
Gent would be more in tune with that than me, you know, because I don't know, I haven't been too involved in the scene a lot. I mean, I keep tabs on, you know, bands that I've always been interested in and stuff, but from a Salt Lake City standpoint, like, don't really know, you know, I wouldn't know.
Well, that's because you're not wearing enough Iceburn shirts around. People would probably bring it up a lot more. That'll help you out. Heads up.
I guess I was always the guy that would, you know, if some band came to Kilby and then asked about Iceburn, I would always hear it from somebody else. So it always got back around to me anyway.
So you guys actually have a Wikipedia page. Are you aware of that fact?
For Iceburn? I didn't.
Yeah. That's a good answer. I was hoping you'd say that. Most bands are really excited about the fact, and they look for themselves on Wikipedia. Yeah, you're the kind of guy that hasn't even done that.
Well, I've heard something about one with me on it that said something about math and stuff.
I was gonna bring that up, actually, because the band has been pegged with several different genres there on the site. Mm-hmm. Post-hardcore, alternative metal, alternative rock, avant-garde metal, math rock, jazz core, free improvisation, and free jazz. What do you think about all those?
Probably right.
That's
right.
Where you could probably put them in a proper order of how the arc.
It looks like they did.
Or they went through.
Yeah, they labeled maybe. It. Yeah, it just ends up to free jazz.
Yeah, that's where it ended up. I think towards the end of Iceburn, I kind of looked back and wanted to, I don't know, I was looking at how all the albums came together and everything, and it seemed like around the middle one, Metatavolutions, which we wrote with Chubba, but he didn't actually play on the album, that there was like a big split there on that one. And so everything before it almost has a mirror image of the albums after it. And so I kind of chose towards the end of Iceburn what stuff was going to get put out, because we had a lot of weird things we were doing. But yeah, so the art kind of went from totally composed through to completely improvised stuff at the end. And I don't know what else it hit in the middle.
God knows where. Perhaps the avant-garde metal math rock is where that was.
Sure, we were into the avant. We were into the odd meters and things like that.
If some people were pointing, though, to the post-hardcore sort of time period and emergence of bands, you were kind of riding the crest of that, I guess you could say. You were helping to define that and signing to a label like Victory, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of went from he was in Inside and played with him on one tour at the end. It was, but we were always friends through that. And they put out their 7-inch on Victory, and then it kind of just rolled over from there. Because we were like, oh, we want to do this new thing.
Can you talk a little bit about, maybe we can get back to Victory in a second, but can you talk about how you met up and first started working with the guys at Revelation?
We did the first 7-inch only with Victory. Oh, and the first record. After that, we were trying to get stuff from Victory, and we'd have to go to his house when we were on tour and wake him up and go take a bunch of stuff if we needed it. You know, I mean, it was kind of a weird... He's probably got, like, mafia dudes working for him now, but we...
Can't really talk about that, right?
You know, I don't think we ever threatened him, really.
No, I don't think so.
But we had a very contentious relationship with Victory. And, like, years later, I actually went through a lawyer in Chicago that was working for Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts, and he put a bunch of pressure on him, like, and he actually settled up with us, finally, for... some stuff.
The Wikipedia page did not tell me that.
Oh, no.
And it didn't tell me the correct
he's probably got
either.
Some good PR, too.
Ah.
But, yeah, so after that, Stormy was actually a local Stormy Shepherd booking agent. Started booking for all our little bands, and then, like, her business took off with The Offspring and Green Day and all those things that were happening, Rancid. So through Stormy, we met the... Revelation dudes, Jordan and stuff, and he started backing us.
And it was a little bit, or it was far less contentious, you could say, right?
Oh yeah,
it's always going to be contentious.
But at least
labels want to make money.
Definitely a lot less than.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, record contracts are pretty ridiculous, and but you always have to have them. And it's a strange business, but it's good to have the freedom. It felt like he gave us freedom.
Yeah, he did.
And to do whatever we want. And maybe that's kind of what made us go a little crazy.
The going crazy phase, as it were. Now you've since settled down from the craziness with Eagle Twin, or is it exacerbated? What are you saying?
Yeah, there's a lot of weird parallels, I'm sure. It all comes back around. And I think the language we developed in Iceburn continues in Eagle Twin, but maybe more distilled, lower, heavier, louder. We were always pretty loud, though. And you were you wear the shotgun ear muffs.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of shows we'd play where they would be like, we don't even, you know, when we played the Pompadour, they wouldn't even mic my drums or anything. Like, I would just set up kind of in the front of the stage, and Cash would set his bass up right behind me, and Gent would set his amp up. I don't even know if they mic'd anything, honestly. Like, we were pretty loud.
How do you play the drums that loud? You gotta be ruining some heads every show, right? Putting holes in them?
No, I mean, I would break sticks, but my biggest issue was getting my kick to stay put, you know, like it's always wanting to slide, so I'd have to put some nails in the ground or do something like that.
Is this a joke? Is he serious?
No,
serious.
Yeah.
Tyler does it, and Eagle Twin, he gets rugs and he cuts holes for the pegs of the bass drum, so his weight's on the rug. And the drums pegs are in the rug, and it holds it in place for him. And Tyler actually has the problem. He'll snap kick pedals right in the middle.
Oh, my God.
It's like cast iron. And he's done that on multiple. But if you see videos of him, he hits like a mofo.
These are the guys you play with, Gentry. Can you explain
heavy
that?
Drummers. I don't know. It's very visceral and kind of an emotional release. Iceburn was, as well as Eagle Twin. But that's why we lost a couple members in the very beginning. You know, Jeremy and Jamie took off. It was like every show that Iceburn played, we just gave everything. And it's kind of exhausting. But I don't know. That's our way that we developed. We had a lot of huge ideas back then. It's just like, we're going to, I don't know, write the craziest shit and play the hardest and make it the baddest. You know, it was just like...
changing the world, basically, right?
I don't know. Well, I mean, we were just young and wanting to do our thing. I don't know. It's interesting to see that it's had a lasting influence.
I think that's something that Rebecca's question touched on a little bit.
Sure.
that there is that longevity aspect that a lot of bands can never even hope to get. Like I was mentioning that Wikipedia page, it's a mark, especially for bands that were not around, or that Wikipedia wasn't around during the time of their creation. There's still people interested about it, which it must be cool because Revelation Records is having this 25th anniversary show. You're going out to New York. Mm-hmm. Have you been to that space yet where the show's at or anything?
I've never been there. Yeah. Played a couple different places.
We would play CBGBs and Brownies and these kind of iconic smaller places. This is supposed to be quite a bigger venue, yeah. So that'll be cool. But it's with Yusuf today. We were both there in '88 when they played the Speedway, and I got a black eye. I remember.
What'd you do?
Oh no! Somebody dived. The stage dived. Knee right in my eyeball.
Oh man!
I only remember so vividly because I was just starting. Up at the U, and we had to get our ID video, or ID pictures taken, student IDs, so I had like a black eye.
A shiner.
Shaved head, so. But yeah, we loved the Revelation stuff, and it was cool to get on there, and it's weird that they let us do whatever we want.
Yeah, I think we're different than a lot of the other Revelation bands, so, I mean, that's kind of cool. That Jordan went ahead and, you know, you guys do some albums, and you know, it was very different than most of the other hardcore stuff that he put out at the time, for sure.
That begs the question, what kind of music will you be playing? What style, genre?
We're doing mostly the earlier stuff, so from, it was Hephaestus and a couple things from Fire, and one from the First Image, I guess, that was on those. Poetry of Fire, just kind of that first little chunk that Chubba was a big part of and stuff. Because from there it got a little more fractured and a lot more people coming in and out of the... we had our core, but...
Speaking of the lineup, who's going to be joining you in New York?
It's just us three, Chubba, me, and Cash Tolman on bass, who was... Doug was the first bass player, Doug Wright, and he played on Fire, and Cash played on Hephaestus. In between those, we had tours where Doug was... We were all young, and he ended up leaving, and so... But I think he's out there in New Jersey or something, so maybe he'll come over.
That'd be nice.
But Doug's an amazing musician, great bass player. And Cash is great. He's on tour with
Rival Schools
right now, so...
He used to be my neighbor. That guy's got stories.
Oh, who, Cash?
Yeah, he's got some tales.
Sure, I got tales about him. Rolling the van up into a ditch in Florida.
Whoa, there, that just came out, guys. It's true, it's not just a rumor. Was he driving? Of course,
oh,
it
yeah.
seems, yeah.
I was in back with, actually we had two bass players on that tour. Equipment flying everywhere, and I ended up upside down, buried in gear. And
oh, shit.
He just like turns around from the driver's seat, and he's like, "How's my bitches?"
Sounds like something you would say.
I wanted to kill him. But,
well, I'm glad he's going to be joining you guys. There's no better guy than him probably to be playing that in terms of his attitude that he still has. And you'll also be playing another show, we should mention, here in Salt Lake City. So if there's some listeners right now that are jealous about not making it to the New York show, you're going to be heading back to your old stomping grounds here in Salt Lake October 27th.
News gets around.
Yeah, we already got that.
Well, okay.
That must be an interesting feeling, playing in Salt Lake again without, you know, playing Iceburn songs. That must be weirder maybe than New York even for some reasons.
We always did really well in New York. I think they
better
liked
than
us better.
Better
yeah.
than here?
Oh, yeah.
You enjoy it?
On tour back then. I mean, after Jeremy and Jamie quit, we would play shows as a three-piece sometimes, and there would be, like, nobody, you know? Like the Perseus or some weird Perseus Opera House or just these weird shows. And, I mean, yeah, we definitely felt... Not quite as appreciated here, but we were trying some weird shit, so...
Well, I think you're going to have some... That's true. You're going to have some newer fans this time around, I believe, that are really interested in seeing you live.
That's cool. I mean, we're going to add some people for that, too. We'll probably add some crazy sax and some extra guitar with some other members, so it should be interesting.
Lively.
Yeah. I mean, we did it a while back. What was it? 2007 or so with...
The 20th anniversary.
Yeah, you reunited for our
18th.
Our 18th anniversary.
Yeah, 18th, yeah.
Why did you celebrate the 18th?
We're 18 years old and we're legal? Come on, guys, get it?
I get it.
Get
it's
it
a big one.
When's your 21st?
It's all about sex. We already had our 21st. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks for coming in and sharing your stories. I personally love that. I know there's going to be a lot of people out there that are really looking forward to the show and will really enjoy the stories you guys just said. So thanks for your time.
Okay.
You bet.
Well, let's play Iron from Hephaestus. And thanks for joining us, guys.
You bet. Thanks.
From Iceburn's 1993 album Hephaestus, that's Iron. Iceburn will be reuniting for the Revelation Records 25th anniversary at Irving Plaza in New York City. Also on the bill, Into Another, Youth of Today, and Supertouch. Iceburn is also going to be playing the Urban Lounge on October 27th along with Worst Friends and Los Rojos. For more details on the label, visit them online at revelationrecords.com. We're joined once more by Jeffrey Stedman. He's the Yelp community wrangler, as I like to call him. Thank you for joining us, Jeffrey. Are you ready to do this?
It's a big one today. Yeah, I'm excited.
Do you want to tell people what it's about?
All right, folks, today we're talking about pizza.
Yep, my favorite.
And pizza, I gotta say, like at the beginning here, let's lay out a couple of ground rules.
I'm ready.
To get going here. First of all, probably the most divisive food topic you can ever bring up is pizza, because people have their idea about what it is and what it isn't and how it should be and shouldn't be. So I'm not gonna say anything is best today. I'm not gonna make judgment calls, because I believe, JP, there is room on this earth for all kinds of pizza underneath the za umbrella.
You're so old-fashioned. Can I just say before we start this, I agree with you, by the way, but I love the New York-style pizza. I grew up on the East Coast, so any place on this list that's like that, I'm going to say is the best. But I know you have to be really political.
It's not me per se. It's just that, like, it's like asking somebody, hey, what's the best car ever made? And, you know, somebody goes, oh, yeah, I'm like a Corvette man. And you think, well, and you say, well, you can't haul any kind of gear in the back of a Corvette. It's like, well, that's a I mean, it's so different. You can't say this kind of pizza over this. I mean, you have your own preference, your own opinion. We're going to just mention a bunch of them today, different styles, and let people go out and try stuff and Yelp about it.
And now, given that intro, I also am going to be comparing pizza to cars. Let's start off with the Pinto.
The Pinto of cars is Domino's in Salt Lake. Exactly. We're not going to talk about Domino's. Look, there's a lot of those kind of places. We're going to highlight some, some local stuff. Let's start off with, I'm going to call it authentic in quotation marks, right? I'm doing the air quotes around the microphone, so folks at home listening know that, you know, authentic is really, again, very subjective. I haven't lived in Italy, so I can't really say what's authentic, but we're going to talk about places that are kind of on the more Italian wood fire, brick oven kind of side of things. To start off, I think a lot of people probably heard of Settebello, 260 South, 200 West, 4 out of 5 stars. It's got 168 reviews, so really pretty well vetted, and Alice Y says this: the crust just jives with my pizza soul. It's exactly what I seek in pizza crust. Thin, chewy, and crispy in just the right way, with a smidge of charcoal taste from the oven. So it's that thin crust. At 90 seconds, it's like 700 to 900 degrees in there. Pizzeria 720 in Orem does the same kind of thing, and their thing is, you know, the oven's optimal temperature is 720 degrees, hence the name. And, you know, it's that kind of Italian, thin crust, non-sliced, go-for-it kind of pizza.
And Napolitan, I believe?
You got it.
And they, yeah, supposedly, this urban legend or true, flew in their bricks from Italy for the pizza oven.
Yeah, the oven is imported. And I think they even had somebody come over and kind of show them, and they have, you know, different sort of certificates on the wall of, no, we're really legit. I don't know if it's authentic, but I know what I like, and I likes it. So, Settebello, 4 out of 5 stars. Moving down that list, probably should talk about Vinto, which is 418 East, 200 South. We talked about them not too long ago, I think, in the Cool Treats edition of Soundwave, so we won't repeat too much of it, except Lexi S. says, their pizza is delightful and, again, light. I know that eating an entire pizza is not always the best idea, however, I feel totally awesome about it when at Vinto. I don't ever leave feeling overly stuffed and heavy, and it's true, it's a very light, thin kind of a pizza. We should also mention in that same category, Cafe Trio has their oven, they do flatbreads, Michelangelo Ristorante, Surefire Pizza is kind of a mobile pizza for hire with their own oven they pull behind their van.
Oh yeah, I've seen that out and about.
Yeah, probably Farmer's Market, and that's legit, it's really good stuff. And then Pizzeria Limone, the Yelp reviews, I think someone calls it the Cafe Rio of pizza. I think that's a compliment in that you walk in, you tell them what you want, they make the ingredients as they go down, they throw it in the oven, and come out, and they got some pretty impressive stuff with like a blackberries. I had one with pear on it, so it was that's good, and they just opened a location here in downtown, but their first one was on 72nd, kind of in the Fort Union area.
And where is that downtown, do you know?
Just open, I haven't been there.
It's fine, Jeffrey.
No, 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 we'll find it, and we'll talk about it. So there's your authentic, air quote, Italian, wood fire, brick oven, kind of stuff.
The best, let's call them the Corvettes, if you will.
Maybe the Fiat.
Okay, wow.
Because we're going to sense. Italy. Fiat, you know, is that Italian?
I blew that, it is.
I'm really bad at cars.
I'm better at pizza than cars.
Okay, so secondly, you mentioned New York style, thin crust kind of pizza. Throw out some of your faves there for
I'd say probably pizza. The Este and Sugar House does a really fine job of that.
Yeah. Este, I don't think you can talk about it in Utah without talking about Este. They have two locations, the one at Sugar House and the one at 156 East, 2nd South. I'd say serve with a little attitude. Has that been your experience? Yelpers seem to talk about it.
Yeah, I know some of the characters that work there. That definitely is accurate.
Yeah, don't ask for ranch.
Yeah, or a pineapple on your pizza.
Because you're not going to get a friendly answer. But do check it out. It's really, really good stuff. You can get it by the slice. I want to talk about Pie Hole.
Let's do that.
Because Pie Hole, I got to say, has its own unique vibe and its own... Like, it opens super late. Pie Hole, if you're unfamiliar, 4 out of 5 stars, 92 reviews on Yelp, 344 South State Street. Let's just listen to Charles S., because he pretty much nails it. A little divey, a little underground, a bit hip, with lots of stickers and graffiti plastered all around. $1 PBR's a beautiful thing. This is going to become one of my go-to spots, for sure. If you're on Yelp, go check them out. They inspired a review that was written entirely in haiku, because it just has so much flavor and personality and character, and the pizza's really good. They do some vegan stuff. They do it by the slice. They also do a little delivery in downtown, but it's one of those places you go to before the bar, go after the bar. Like, it's just divey perfection, PBR can stacked up to the ceilings, Ms. Pac-Man in the back.
Yeah, I love it. For a late night eatery in Salt Lake, regardless of the style of food, it's probably the best one. And if you pour enough of that, what I like to call shake cheese, the Parmesan on top, it resembles an Este pizza in terms of good cheese quality. You gotta really dump it on there, though. And I throw Cholula on there, that's just a little secret. They have Cholula there, so you know.
Yeah,
and they have the PBR pizza combo that they do, too.
A little insider tip.
Yeah, and also different specials throughout the week, like the Bird Dog, which is a chicken slice. Pretty much have eaten there a lot.
Yeah.
Enough to fill up a punch card.
Yeah, potato bacon. Yeah, exactly. For sure. So moving down that same category, I don't know if it's really... I mean, it's NYC style, but European Pizza Deli. If you haven't checked that out, 5 out of 5 stars. After just 9 reviews, 2850 South Redwood Road. Maybe known for their sandwiches a little bit more, but it's a deli. They do sandwiches, pizza. Spencer S. says, it's New York-style pizza with good crispiness but not much chew. The sauce, he says, is almost non-existent, but what is there is tasty, and the cheese is plentiful. And again, if you're going with people who maybe don't want pizza, but you want to pick up a slice, check it out. They can get a sandwich. They can get something else from the deli. Kind of a different take on things on the west side.
It's great. What's next?
Nooch's, 4 out of 5 stars, 23 reviews, 2819 South, 2300 East. Give them a go. It's wood-fired pizza as well. We should also mention Maxwell's in Salt Lake City. I think Maxwell's has a Park City location as well. They're at 357 South Main, 4 out of 5 stars.
They have a club atmosphere a little bit more, too. They'll bring in a DJ different days of the week. They've got a VIP area upstairs, so they're a restaurant and a
club. Kind of a bar, club kind of thing. Yeah, you can get a drink there for sure. Amore is owned by the same folks who have Canella's over there on 5th South. 4 out of 5 stars for them. Cecilia, which just moved in the last, it's almost been a year now. They're at 35 West, 300 South. Pizza by the slice, again, you can get a full drink there. It's kind of an easy drop-in, pop-in, pop-out kind of place, Cecilia Pizza. I think they call themselves Cecilia Kitchen now, but... worth giving it a go. And then, so that's the New York kind of crust style that you were talking about. And then my third category today is called a bunch of pizza.
What is that?
I don't know, really. It's kind of encompasses a lot of things. For example, Chicago style pizza. I mean, you just get a ton of like stuffed crust or deep dish pizza. Check out Sweet Home Chicago. They have a location in the District and out in Draper on the east side of the Draper Parkway. So much, like a slice, and you're good. I mean, it's just
like
thick.
A pizza casserole.
Yeah, it's like exactly. Yeah. And a lot of cheese, big chunks of sausage, stuff like that.
It's the SUV of pizzas.
Thank you.
I hate SUVs.
You're not a fan of Chicago pizza. I love it. Okay, but, you know.
To each his own, right?
Right. There's room on the planet, JP, for all kinds of pizza.
Thank God.
I don't think we can really talk about pizza without at least saying the pie. That is probably the greatest lightning rod of the pizza community. You love it, you hate it. I feel like you have to at least do it. Go up to the one at the U and go with the underground.
The original.
Right. For the experience. Now, if you're out in the south part of the valley or other parts of town, and there's, you know, just a regular, the pie, I think it loses something in translation outside of those areas.
I agree.
But, you know, why not? Go check it out. Go underground. See the writing on the wall. It's fun.
I will say this, that I don't like the pizza there necessarily, although they do a great Greek pizza with, gyro meat on it and feta. But my go-to with the pie has always been cheese pull-aparts. And they recently added a cheddar pull-apart, so you get the cheddar and mozzarella. It's a delight. There, I'm going to say it. I stopped using that word. It's coming back. It's a delight. Probably one of my last meals in Utah will be the cheese pull parts of the pie for a sentimental slice, as it were. I love the environment. You go downstairs, and it brings back all the old college days. And when I used to go there on break from school and maybe not ever go back to class, because it's, you know, you're full of pizza. It's nap time.
Yeah, food coma.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the pie has to be written about, you know, Tenny's and Sandy and Saratoga Springs doing some interesting things. They had, like, a backyard barbecue pizza. They had a breakfast pizza.
What?
For a while, yeah.
You know, my favorite thing is breakfast, and then you combine the pizza. What?
Yeah, where it was, it's like 78th, I should have, it's like, I want to say it's like 78th South and 7th East. I know that's like about the corner that it is. Kitty corner from Harmon's there on 7th Street. That one comes and goes. Stuff comes and goes on the menu. They keep it fresh, keep exciting new things coming on. They had a... like a hot dog pizza, which I tried, and I'm glad they tried it, and I probably won't try it again. But it was, you know, it is kind of an example of the things that they're doing. They also have a pizza called The Beast, which is 26-inch pizza. If you finish it in an hour, they'll pay you $100.
What? Do you have to do it all by yourself?
Yeah.
That's not The Beast. That's pre-diabetes. That's the pre-diabetes.
Diabetes. Yeah, for sure. But it's, you know, interesting and fun. And then Spadelli's, 2352 South, Foothill. They have tacos and wings, and kind of big for the snowboarding crowd, especially in the wintertime. Well, clearly the snowboarding crowd is the wintertime, but they kind of hold on through the summertime. Fun, kind of a bunch of stuff, and it's about atmosphere as well as food there.
Sure, so they have concerts every once in a while there as well.
Just a fun kind of that vibe. Fun kind of place with, yeah, fun vibe.
I think we just labeled every pizza restaurant in the Salt Lake Valley. We did, didn't we?
Well, I did when I searched Yelp for the pizza category, we had 253 results.
Whoa.
So there are no shortage of places to get pizza, and everyone will just testify about their favorite, like, no, man, your place sucks, my pizza's the best, it's in my neighborhood. Look, we're not going to solve any of that today here in our discussion, JP.
We can't.
We just, it's this is bigger than you and me.
It's bigger than we'll ever be.
But let's open up our arms, let's invite everyone around, we'll hold hands and sing kumbaya and have pizza and understand that there's room for everybody's favorite pizza. Respect is the foundation of a good pizza community, my friend.
Well, there's a reason the pizza's a circle. It's, right? Am I right?
I just got deep.
Yeah, I have to give a quick mention, though, to my favorite delivery joint, which is Freewheeler, because they make a whole wheat crust and a sourdough crust. They are really delightful. It's hard to get a whole wheat crust in this town. It's like a foreign concept.
Excellent, yeah.
Thank you.
Shout out to the Freewheeler.
Shout out. I know you didn't do any research on them. I give them 5 out of 5 stars.
Appreciate
for
the
whole wheat crust.
Okay. That's all it needs is your seal of approval. So that's what's going. That's what's happening to pizza. Give me just 1 second. I want to tell you, Yelpers, tell everybody about something that's going on in Yelp land coming
Please
up.
Do.
October 15th through the 20th, we have a big deal going on called Yelp's Thirst Quencher. This is every night of the week, we have a different event based around a different kind of beverage. So from soda pop to hand-brewed soda pop to beer to pie shakes with Sammy's Open. We have a different event every night.
Yeah.
Get on yelp.com/events. You can RSVP. These are free events to come out and just try a different beverage, go to a brewery, design your own soda. A lot of fun stuff going on, so check it out.
You had me at pie shakes.
Yeah, it's happening.
And I should say thanks to Jeffrey for all the amazing Yelp segments we've done over the years. It's been, 5 years now? Thank you for coming in. And I will look forward to reading all your weekly reviews. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
It's time once again for our weekly daily calendar rundown with managing editor Esther Moronio. Thank you for joining me, Esther.
Thanks for having me.
Really glad to have you. I am also checking out just a little preview of your events here. Really solid week. You've done a great job. You want to start us off with what's going on Wednesday, October 10th?
Yes. So on Wednesday, October 10th, we have Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson playing at the Salt Lake Acting Company. And it's a Wild West rock musical about America's 7th president. It runs through November 4th. And a fun fact about Andrew Jackson that is probably not accurate is that apparently his inauguration was like one of the wildest parties that the White House ever had, because he was kind of like a hillbilly. Obviously, he had problems with Native Americans, so he was like a redneck.
The first redneck, if you will.
Yeah, which the first redneck that we elected to office.
Sure, George Bush, the most recent, of course.
And so he invited all of his redneck buddies, and They were partying into the night, and the White House staff got so bummed out on it because they wanted to go to bed that they moved all the liquor to the lawn and then locked the doors behind them. Classic. It's probably not true, but
classic
it might
Jackson.
Be.
It's
and hopefully
true.
The Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson will feature the scene in his show.
I should say, in effort at full disclosure, I currently work for Salt Lake Acting Company, the producing company. It doesn't have that party in it, but there's definitely a lot of partying. There's prostitutes. There's a live band there on the stage. It's like a rock musical in the sense that it's a real rock musical. He's like a lead singer in a band. It's cool.
I think
people will like it that maybe aren't into musical theater usually. I wouldn't even tell people it's musical theater. Can we just scratch that? It's a rock opera.
I love musical theater.
It's a rock opera. It's a rock. I tried to combine those words, it didn't work. And Thursday, October 11th, there's something going on at Rico's, which is one of my favorite locations in Salt Lake. I used to live next door to there. What's going on?
It's called Celebrate the Bounty, and it's a fall fundraiser for Local First Utah. There's going to be a bunch of food from awesome local restaurants like Mazza, Tin Angel, Mediterrina, Hell's Backbone Grill, Cafe Molise, Niche, and more. Tickets are kind of pricey for this event, but with all of those restaurants represented, I think it's pretty reasonable. It's about $50, $55 if you want food and drink. And big plus, you have to be 21 to go.
That is a big plus. I'll weed out all these young kids with $50 worth of disposable income. And I heard that there was a really interestingly named band coming to Kilby Court. Is that true? Can you verify that?
Yes. On Friday, October 12th, Crocodiles will be at Kilby. Yeah, so I actually tried to go see these guys at South by Southwest last year. I didn't get a chance. So I'll probably be at the show. They're a noise pop band from San Diego. They're made up of kind of a talented duo, Brandon Welches and Charles Rowell. Brandon's actually married to the Dundum Girls frontwoman, Dee Dee Penny. And Charles published a prose book with the Cold Cave American Nightmare frontman, Wes Eisold. So it's kind of cool. They have all these connections. Probably make some pretty good, they do make some pretty good music, but I have not seen them live yet. Should be a good show. And it is
them.
All ages.
Yeah.
Okay, so on Saturday, October 13th.
And there's a Slug Localized that night, so after you're done biking around at 3 p.m. or so, you can come check out the show at Urban Lounge at 10 p.m. It's just $5. Triggers and Slips, the Polka Dots, and Bullets and Bells. We're actually about to play a Polka Dot song here in a second, so you'll be able to hear that if you've never heard them before. It's there. Have you heard them?
Yeah, I have. I've seen them play live a couple of times. They're actually really good. I'm not super into folk music, but they have like that old-timey, oh brother, where art thou sound, you know what I mean?
That's very common.
Yeah.
We're talking about oh brother here in a second, right?
Yeah, we are,
so
actually.
Let's hold off on next Monday. Let's talk about Sunday first.
So on Sunday, October 14th, Dinosaur Jr. and Shearwater are going to be playing at Urban, so make sure you check that out.
And Monday, October 15th, Circus Survive, Touche Amore, Balance and Composure, and oh brother will be in the venue. I know you're way into those bands, right?
Circa Survive is a band I was into when I was in high school. They are still pretty good, though. Anthony Green is the front man. They just released a new album called Violent Waves. And Oh Brother, who are the opening band, I've actually seen them play a few times, and they're really, really good. They play kind of the stoner doom rock and put on a really good live show just because they all have, like, really long hair and headbang, and like the bassist also has like a bass drum that he beats in addition to bassing.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna continue. Hey, where can people find out information about our daily calendar, and where do they submit info? You probably have that for us, right?
Yeah, so there are various places that you can get all of this information plus more. First is on our website, slugmag.com. Right on the front page, we have a little sidebar that you can click and see events for the whole month. And also, if you have an iPhone, you can download our iPhone app, which also has a direct link to this episode of the podcast and every episode of the podcast, along with our phone number, which you can call to talk to us, maybe tell us about an event that we missed or an event that's coming up. There's also a place to submit your own events on our website, so go check that out.
It's a lot of information. I hope people are writing that down. Basically, go to our website or download it on your phone, right?
Yeah.
We'll pick it up in hardcover. You do that on your iPhone, right?
I do.
Which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting the new iPhone 5?
Oh, no.
Bummer. Do you want to talk about conflict minerals? This is usually where you chide me for not having a smartphone like yours.
Well, I'm being nice today.
Thank you. All right. Hey, thanks, Esther. As usual, thank you for joining me. It's been amazing.
Thank you.
It's been great.
It has been.
The Polka Dots is a five-piece Americana band from Salt Lake City. They released their debut album, Down Below, in May of 2011. Most recently, the group quietly released a self-titled EP in June of 2012, and they're currently collaborating with the Trappers on a gospel album set for Christmas. Here's Black Crow off their brand new self-titled EP.
When the black crow cries, he's calling my name. From the tops of the sky, I can feel it in my veins. And he's telling me that it's time to go home when the black crow cries. He's calling my name. 40 years ago, from the zenith.
crow cries out calling my name.
My name.
From the tops of sky, I can't feel it in my vein.
My vein.
And he's telling me it's time to go home when the black crow cries. He's calling my name.
That was the Polka Dots with Black Crow off their new self-titled EP. They'll be playing Slug Localize with Triggers and Slips and Bullets and Bells on October 13th at Urban Lounge. The show, as usual, starts at 10 and is just $5. For more information on the group, visit them online at thefolkadots.com. Theta Knot is an experimental jazz band from Salt Lake City, Utah. The group started in 2002, and their group numbers range anywhere from 7 to 10 people at a time. There's a theremin player in the group, which automatically means they get a solid A-plus vote for the unique. Over the past decade, the band has released 5 full-length albums through their own label, Differential Records, and their most recent release was an EP that came out in early 2012 entitled Sound Mass. This month, the band celebrates their 10th anniversary. Here's Ryan Stanfield and Darren Corey speaking with Slug writer Jory Carroll.
What was the original lineup, you remember?
Yeah, the first lineup was myself, Taylor Miller, who I kind of started the band with, and then we had my friend Ian playing drums. He only played on like the first 2 shows that we did, and then Darren joined us shortly thereafter, and Rochelle on violin. And so it was the 4 of us for the first 2 shows. And, you know, his agreement was basically like, I'll play like 1 or 2 shows with you. Mm-hmm. Darren jumped in. And so it's been Darren and I. Taylor was out of the band after about another 2 years.
Yeah, about 2 years.
And then his brother Greg basically filled that void immediately. It was actually like mid-tour when that happened. And so Darren and Greg and myself, we have been part of the group, kind of the core of the group for a while. But after that, it included my brother, Jared, and then our cellist, Peter, for many years. And I think that was like the basic core of the band for most of our time.
Yeah, and then we've gone through cellists, like Spinal Tap goes through drummers. It's been unfortunate.
They come and go.
So cellists, man, they're just ridiculous.
Spontaneously combust.
Or something.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter was our longest lasting cellist, and he's great, and I love him, but I wish he could be here and be in Salt Lake with us. But after he left and moved to California, man, it's just been like, you drop like flies. Get one on, they're excited, and you know, don't hear from them.
You want to know how desperate we were? Even once asked Steve Nelson if he'd want to come sit in. But as you know, Steve Nelson just signed a big deal with the Piano Guys group. So he had bigger fish to fry.
I turned you guys down. But so when you first got things going, did you guys all kind of share the same similar musical influences? Just kind of like, I mean, your guys' sound is, you know, it's like, you know, instrumental, but it's like, you know, sometimes like Pink Floyd-ish. You have elements of the Velvet Underground there with, you know, kind of cello and drone soundings. Did you guys all share those influences like that?
I'd say Pink Floyd is probably...
It's probably common ground.
Like the only common ground. No, that's not true, not the only common ground, but...
But it probably was, especially in the beginning. I mean, I don't think Darren and I agreed on much else. And so it's not like we said, okay, we're going to be Pink Floyd, right? But I was over here, and he was over here, and... I mean, we'd go on tour together, and I'd be like, man, what's this? Flipping through his CDs or something. I'm sure he'd be the same. What is all this garbage you listen to, man? This stuff is too heavy.
Big chunk of time, do you think you still have the kind of same energy as when you first started? You're still same enthusiasm? Or is it kind of harder now that you've gotten older and you got more things to juggle with in your life?
I think the problem is the enthusiasm level has to get shared with stuff like family and other commitments. And so once we get together and we start playing, you know, it's able to come back in, we get pretty excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
but it's harder to get to that point.
It's hard to find that time.
Yeah.
Right? Because, yeah, we would have band sessions. You know, I guess it was practice, but after you're playing with someone for 5 or 6 years and it's all improvisational, I mean, Darren and I can just feed off of each other. We don't have to play with each other for 2 or 3 months, and then we can get in a room together and just go and take off. For me, the enthusiasm is still there. It always has been there, but you're right. I mean, there are things you've got to juggle, other priorities in life, and yeah, I mean, we face this continuing dichotomy of, you know, our priorities and what we're going to do musically as well as outside of it.
Is there specific goals, you know, when you go into the studio, you guys want to make any changes or you just want to kind of jam?
What do you think?
That's I don't know. I don't think we've ever had any sort of like, we're going to make this one.
Flagpole and we're going to make this one like Radiohead or something, right?
Yeah, it's always just kind of, you know, we get together and play and it's just whatever comes out. I mean, I think it's pretty heavily influenced by what we were feeling like the day that we record.
Yeah, and that process is very, it's an amazing experience because we'll sit around and kick around ideas together and we'll go into a studio with maybe 3 or 4 ideas. And then, but once we get into that mode where we are recording, we can just throw out a material that ends up being great sometimes. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I mean, you know, you have to enjoy what you're playing.
We recorded stuff that didn't fit in the current album that we were working on, but has found its way into subsequent albums. It sounded a lot better there.
And a lot of times the creative process will just go and go. And, you know, you record, like our first album, Something Scientific, it was originally just gonna be an EP. We went into the studio and kicked out like 15 tracks in a day. And we're like, okay, I guess we can't fit all of this onto a CD.
And how do you guys kind of feel about the difference between playing live shows versus being in the studio? Do you guys like playing in front of a live audience? Kind of, do you think it helps you guys feed off of that and makes you guys play better?
Oh yeah, live is always better.
Yeah.
So I know you guys do a lot of instrumentals and improvisation, and that just
works all together. It's much better live. And we recorded, probably the most awkward was recording Sound Weave. We recorded that in this big warehouse where we had to build basically sound booths for each of us because we had Alex Calviero coming in and out recording with us doing spoken word stuff, and it was just, I mean, Darren's off in like a corner 100 feet away or 200 feet away from me, and I'm here and Alex is over in another booth and Peter is in playing his cello in another room like on the other side of the warehouse. We can't even see him, and so it kind of shows you how well we just listened to each other, but it was also really awkward to
not be able to see each other.
Not be able to see each other, and because, you know, there is that energy that you get from being just within close proximity of another person. And without that there, you can't look for cues or anything. It was all, you know, 100% oral.
I think you brought up a good point there. A lot of jamming, or a lot of, you know, improvisation is listening to each other. I think we do a pretty good job of listening. In jazz, usually you have your main section, then you have parts, you know, everybody gets a chance to
improvise.
To solo, improvise on their own. We don't do any of that ever. Nobody ever really has a solo. But everybody gets a chance to sort of shine through whenever we play. And it's all just, nothing's planned. We all just listen for the right moments and we know what we're doing.
Never been to one of your shows, how would you describe the atmosphere? You think when you guys are on stage, I mean, you seem pretty mellow, you know, just kind of get into the groove of things.
Depends. Every one of our shows is different. I mean, I don't know how many, I haven't counted how many shows we've played over the last 10 years, but, you know, it's more than 100. I don't know if any two shows that felt the same. I mean, for me personally, but I think also for the audience. We don't really have any groupies, and we never have. I mean, this kind of music doesn't lend itself to that, right? Unless, you know, we'll get a couple stoners that come out, like, every once in a while and stick around and for a couple of shows. Our shows are so sporadic as far as locations. I mean, we just kind of moved away from playing traditional venues at one point, and, you know, we would try and play coffee shops and art houses and places where you traditionally wouldn't see a show.
But we definitely have a different sound in the coffee shop versus Bar Deluxe or whatever.
Yeah, and that's true too, right? I mean, the crowd, who's there, the other bands that we're playing with. I mean, we've been on tour when we've played with, like, speed punk bands and metal bands, and those, I love those shows, because, you know, the audience is, you know, they're there to see the local hard, like, metal band or something,
and you guys come on
and
stage,
we come on and yeah. just kind of mellow it out a little bit, mm-hmm. and I've had people just be like, whoa, that was amazing, you know, these total metal dudes, and cool, man, thanks, I appreciate that.
Theta Knot will be playing their 10th anniversary show on October 13th at Kilby Court. The band will be playing with Jason Anderson, Bad Weather California, and Mason Jones and the Get-Togethers. The show starts at 7 p.m. and is just $7. For more info on the group, visit them online at thetanaught.org. That's thetanaugh.org. Thanks for listening to another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. What metal songs or albums do you like to rock out to during All Hallows' Eve? We've got another Metal Roundtable episode coming up just in time for Halloween, and we want to hear your thoughts on scary and haunting metal. You can either send an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our voicemail line at 858-233-9324. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan, with associate producers Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and me, JP. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Our main logo and art design is by T-Done, and technical design by Kate Colgan. Next week, Punctured Piercing, Sketch Cabaret, and Power Pot. What is Power Pot? Well, it doesn't come from Alaska, and it may be different than what you think. It's actually really cool. But you'll have to listen next week to find out more.